But somehow, although the Lord Jesus Christ came to give us life and life abundantly, somehow the devil has pulled the wool over so many eyes that the vast majority of humanity has no desire to walk with God.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Change. Who likes change? Change can be unsettling, but with the world fast heading in the wrong direction and the Christian mission of evangelism in question, the people of God must do more than complain. Some things need to change if we are to confront the gathering darkness in the way Christ intends. This evening, we will hear Pastor Brian Grant list three big things that must change if we are to be effective in sharing the unchanging gospel with our own generation and impacting the generation that is just emerging. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of Time for a Change.
John was riding in a taxi. He was in the back seat of the taxi, and he tapped the driver of the taxi on the shoulder to ask him a question. Somehow, just that little tap on the driver's shoulder scared him so much. The driver started screaming and almost crashed into a bus. Poor John, he was taken by surprise, so he apologized to the driver, and he said, "I didn't expect that. Just a little tap on your shoulder from behind would scare you so much." The driver said, "It's really not your fault. I'm sorry I overreacted. You see, the problem is, it's the first day that I'm driving a taxi." He says, "For the last 24 years, I've been driving a hearse." And for those of you who haven't gotten it yet, you see, the person in the hearse behind you, you really don't want them tapping you from there. Am I right about that? All right. Change can be scary. But as uncomfortable as change is, it's something that God desires of each of us. And today, as we look at the first 12 verses of John's Gospel, chapter 8, I'm speaking on the theme, Time for a Change. I'm speaking on the theme, Time for a Change. And if you have your bulletin, there is an outline there. You can follow along if you care to. And this morning, I just want to share with you three areas in which God wants us to change. The first thing that area God wants us to change in, I believe, based on this passage, it's time to seek the Lord. You can put that down. It's time to seek the Lord. Look how it reads in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse number 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." You know, we're living in a world of growing darkness and hopelessness. Last year, 107,000 precious souls died from drug overdoses in America. And so far this year, we've already had 689 mass shootings. That's an average of more than 2 mass shootings a day. Darkness is growing. There is no doubt about it. But in the midst of this growing darkness, Jesus offers hope. And in verse 12 of chapter 10, he tells us, "I am the," what? "The light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And then, friends, I'm saying to you this morning, it's time to seek the Lord, for light is very important. You know, on my first visit to Kenya's Rift Valley some years ago, as I went outside, I saw some very tall dirt mounds. Some of these dirt mounds were somewhere between 12 and 15 feet tall. So when I asked the men, what in the world are in these tall mounds? They said, those are termite mounds. Well, of course, termite hills. I was not expert in termites, so I wanted to know, my goodness, how do you get those termites out? Of course, the men were telling me how delicious the termites were. Do I have any takers for termites this morning? Any termite? I know I have a few. Well, they were very generous in offering me their termites, but I decided that since they were such a delicacy, I would allow the men to enjoy them by themselves. Wasn't I generous? I may have had some other reasons for not seizing on the invitation. But so I wanted to know, how do you get these termites out? So they tell me, you know, on what they call a new moon or a dark moon, as you may want to call it, when the sky is very dark, they say, what you do, you take a lantern and you put the lantern on that very dark night. You put the lantern right outside the termite hill. And they said the termites are drawn to the light. The termites are drawn to the light. Today, the light of Jesus. Oh, I hope you're with me this morning. Because the light of Jesus seeks to draw every person here to experience God's abundant and eternal life. And so in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10, you need not turn to it. The Lord Jesus himself said, the thief only comes to steal, to kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But somehow, although the Lord Jesus Christ came to give us life and life abundantly, somehow the devil has pulled the wool over so many eyes that the vast majority of humanity has no desire to walk with God. And I'm thanking God that you are here this morning, because I know in our midst are individuals who so far you have had absolutely no desire to walk with God. But today the light of the Lord Jesus Christ is shining and will be shining on you. And it is my prayer that by the grace and might of God that you might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Listen, sometimes the only way God gets our attention is to bring situations into our lives that are not particularly comfortable. You know, a lot of people get saved when drama happens, when health challenges come, when family problems come. My friend had been living the American dream. He had a beautiful wife, 2 children, $1 million mansion, and he was earning a 7-figure salary. That's 7 figures in the day when $1 million was real money. Now, you may say it's real money now, but I'm talking a good 15, 20 years ago. He was making $1 million plus a year back then. All was going well, but suddenly things started to unravel. By the time he and I had a chance to sit down and talk, because he was in a different state, by the time we sit down to talk, his son was on drugs, his wife had left him, and he had just been terminated as the CEO. I tell you, when all that happens, in a short period of time, it puts you in a very dark place. He was truly walking in darkness. I listened as he shared his pain. And after he had finished sharing his pain, and my brothers and sisters, sometimes we are too ready to talk. You know, sometimes we want to give people the solutions before we even hear what the problem is. Give people a chance to share their pain. Be quiet and listen. You know, some Christians just talk too much. Oh, That's not my message today. But hold on to that. Because sometimes when somebody comes to you, the first thing you want to do is pour out all your stuff. But sometimes we need to be just quiet for a moment and hear what they have to say. Somebody say amen. Well, I waited till he was finished. Then I asked for permission to share the love of God. And he said it was okay. And so I shared with him how much Jesus loves him and how he can turn his life around. I was so excited that without any resistance, this man, this big CEO, this man who had seen it and had it all, without any reservations, he opened his heart and received Jesus Christ as his Savior. And you say, Pastor, how did you know he wasn't just fooling you? Listen, 1 year later, he did something that blew me away. 1 year later, he wrote a letter to all his friends. I got a copy. He wrote a letter to all his friends telling them that 1 year earlier, he received Jesus Christ as his Savior and that God had turned his entire life around. And I'm here to tell you, my God can bring change to the most troubled, the most painful situation. And I invite you this morning, you may have been rejecting him, but today God has brought you into his house so that his light, the light of the glorious gospel, can shine into your heart and into your life. And it is my prayer that you'll open your heart this morning to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I receive you today. My friend, you don't have to wait till drama comes. You don't have to wait for drama. We'll get that later. You can come to Jesus today. His heart is open wide to receive you as his Savior. Let's read together a verse. I'm going to put it up on the screen. Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. Here's what it says. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He is so near today. He's knocking on your heart's door. He's saying, let me in. Seek him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. My friend, today the Lord is very near. Will you come to him today? Will you give Jesus Christ your life? Will you make him your Lord and your Savior? It's time to seek the Lord. But second, it's time to become a friend of sinners. That may twist some of you. It's time to become a friend of sinners. It was so well known that Jesus was a friend of sinners that often the Jewish leaders would criticize him for being a friend of, as the Bible puts it, he was a friend of publicans and sinners. But aren't you glad he's a friend of sinners? You know, if Jesus wasn't a friend of sinners, we'd all be outside. You know, sometimes we figure we're so good. You know, we like to compare ourselves against other people, and because we're not as bad as they are, we figure we're pretty good. Well, from God's standpoint, you see, the measuring stick is Jesus Christ himself. You might be better than me, but are you as good as God? You see, that's the measuring stick. But sadly, here's the reality. Here's what I've come to discover. That although we Christians want to reach sinners, some Christians would prefer if non-Christians who don't dress like them, and behave like them, stay away from them. Did you know that? I don't know why the Lord put this on my heart, but he put it on my heart, I believe, because we're in an age where the people that God is calling on us to reach, their lifestyle is totally different from ours. Are you going to say, well, I don't like their lifestyle, so I would just as well they stay away from me. I don't like how they dress and all that stuff. I don't like the stuff they're into. Do you know what sinners ought to be doing? What should sinners be doing? Sinning. You seem to forget what all you were into. Oh, come on now. We get saved and suddenly we forget. We pretend like we were born holy. You wasn't born holy. You're born a sinner. It's just like, because some of the stuff that's going on today, they didn't have it back then. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have all this stuff. Some of you still can't use the internet. Well, you may as well get accustomed to using some of this, because when God starts using you, you're going to need to be able to figure out what's going on so you can help somebody else. Amen?
Amen.
You know, some years ago, my wife and I hosted the leaders from an out-of-town church. They stayed with her at her home for a few days. And at the early part of their visit, they invited me to speak at their church. They had a big conference coming up, and they wanted me to speak at the conference. But after they heard my attitude to outreach, they rescinded the invitation. Have you ever been disinvited? So here I was with an invitation, looking forward to going, and suddenly I lost my invitation. They said they're not, listen good, this is Christian people. They said they're not interested in reaching people from certain backgrounds. For if they reach them and they get saved, they'll mess up their church. I wonder if I have anyone here at GCA who's hoping that we don't reach certain people because we worry that these people will come and mess up our church. Listen, it ain't our church, amen? Am I right about that? This is the Lord's house, am I right? Well, I told these good folks, and to be honest, I was a little younger back then, and they were all older than me, and I guess I was a little, whatever is the word, I don't know what is the right word. But I said to them, if the God we worship doesn't have the power to change the most messed up sinner, he just isn't powerful enough to be God. Are you with me this morning? If the God we serve does not have the power to change the most messed up sinner, he ain't God, because my God has all power. He declared, all power is given to me in earth and in heaven. He's the all-powerful God, and I'm here to tell you, hallelujah, he's able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost all those who come unto God by him. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. My brother and sisters, it's time to become a friend of sinners. Not to become like them. That's the problem. Sometimes we hang out with the sinners, and the next thing you know, you're doing everything the sinners are doing. No, God wants us to become a friend of sinners so we can impact them for the kingdom of God. Write this down, write this down, write this down, write this down. The vilest sinner is also an image bearer of God, just like we are. Oh, sometimes we save so long, we forget that every person born on this planet is an image bearer of God. God made them in his image, and he loves them just as much as he loves me and much as he loves you. Do you believe that? It's time to become a friend of sinners. Write this down. It's time to ask God to give us the desire and grace to be a friend of sinners. Some years ago, a lady came forward in one of her services right here in this church. I preached that morning, it was years ago. You don't know her, so don't even try and figure it out. I pick stories that you won't be able to figure out. She's not here. When I went to speak to her, she shared with me, she said, "You know, I'm a prostitute. I sell my body at Broad and whatever that street is." She said, "I'm out there selling. Can God save me?" And I told her, he can save anybody and wants to save everybody. And he wants to save you. If you were the only sinner in the world, Jesus loves you enough. He would have died just for you. You know, that lady trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, I tell you, she grew. Some years later, I had the privilege of being at her wedding and to encourage her in the things of the Lord. And I'm here to tell you this morning, my friend, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you have done. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse you from all sin. The biggest problem, you know, the person who is the hardest to save is not the bad person. It's the good person. The person who is so good, they compare themselves with the rest of the world and they say, "Well, I'm not like that. God must let me in." I pray that this morning, the Spirit of God will help you to see who you really are. That the comparison is not against that lady or against me. The comparison is against the righteous, holy God. And if you're not as righteous or as holy as he is, you need his salvation. And I trust that this morning, you will come to know him. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.